Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Blaine Barton and Don Noonan continue their real-world Azure series, and in today's episode, they discuss a scenario in which a client wants to move their all-in-one server from a co-location to Windows Azure. Tune in as they discuss how you would handle source disk sizes as it relates to Windows Azure virtual machines, what tools are available to help you get an OS disk or data disk into Azure, as well as how you can deploy your new server image in Azure using availability sets. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist with Microsoft. And today I have a returning guest, Don Noonan, cloud architect of Skylera. How you doing today, bud?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. Welcome back to IT Time TechNet Radio. And we're going to talk about specifically moving an all-in-one server from co-location to Windows Azure. Is that correct?
That's right, Blaine.
Great. So let's kick things off. Let's talk about the VHD resizer.
Yeah, so there's basically when you're trying to move an all-in-one server, we're going to talk about a couple of things. One is how do you handle different source disk sizes as they relate to Windows Azure virtual machines. You know, if you've been in Windows Azure virtual machines a little bit, you know that there's a difference between the OS volume or the OS disk size and data disks. So we'll walk through what different tools you have available that can get that, whether you have an OS disk or data disk, how you get that up into Azure. So we'll walk through some of those. And then we'll also talk about once that image is uploaded to Azure, how we can basically deploy that same server using availability sets depending on what role it serves. So Blaine, just like in our previous episodes, I like to take a step back and look at what kind of workload we're moving. So even in a lift and shift where we think it's simple, it's good to just take a break and kind of summarize in Windows Azure IaaS speak how that workload will be deployed on Azure. So this little Visio diagram, even though it's very few moving parts, the all-in-one case, we have a lot of all-in-wonder workloads out there where, you know, maybe we didn't have the time to split it up into the traditional three or four tier approach. This is just kind of what our theme is real world. I've got this server. It may be a big physical server sitting in a colo or an on-premise instance, and my boss just told me I need to get that up to Windows Azure for either proof of concept or production. So in this scenario, we have an all-in-one server. It happens to be, or its public-facing service happens to be a web front end exposed to the public internet on 80 and 443. This is a very simple scenario, but realistically, there are servers that are running more than just IIS role in this kind of single-tiered approach. They might be a file server. They might have even a database on there. So the concept during this session is, how do I, from a data and from a compute perspective, size that up, get it up into Windows Azure, and then kind of overcome any of the challenges that there might be with getting that data up there? So according to our, you know, fancy Visio doc, we know we have two main things to get done here. One is we need some form of a new directory services instance. So our particular all-in-one wonder instance leverages AD for authentication. So in Windows Azure, we're going to stand up two VMs where all their whole life is going to be a domain controller. So that's kind of the first step is let's get that new forest going in Windows Azure. And in our previous session, we kind of already went over those scripts, so I'm going to skip to how do we get the actual all-in-one machine up into the cloud. So there's some things to know about Windows Azure Spring Preview related to IaaS. One of the things is there's a lot of flexibility around how you can connect hard disks to the compute. So as we know, you can choose from the gallery, you can choose template images, and the majority of time, at least today, is you end up with an OS disk that's 30 gigs. For this particular real-world scenario, I had an on-premise virtual hard disk that was 256 gigs, and it was also a dynamic size disk, and it was also it had contained snapshots. So we have some work to do. And so this is kind of, we're going to go over the steps that it takes to get that down to the requirements. So one of the things is we need to shrink the NTFS volume that's inside that 256 gig virtual hard disk so that we can resize the container or the VHD itself down to a size that'll work in Windows Azure. So step one is to run Disk part, and I'll show that screen right here. So what we're showing here is basically disk part. And if you notice, there's no desktop in the background. So there's some knowledge out there that you aren't able to resize, at least reduce the size of the system volume, the boot volume of a disk. And in this case, the all-in-one server had all-in-one hard disk as well. So drive C, or at least physical disk zero, was not only used for the OS boot volume, but it also had the database information, the IIS role, all that good stuff. So it's a particularly interesting challenge. So what we're in is called Windows PE. You can basically boot a server with Windows PE or boot it with the Windows Server 2008 disk and press Shift-F10 to get a command prompt. This allows us to run disk part against an offline volume so that we can do the shrinking that we need to do here. So again, we're operating on a 256 gig virtual hard disk, and we need to reduce the NTFS volume inside that disk before we can shrink the disk itself. So this is step one, is basically boot the machine up, run disk part, and there's a command called shrink. So I basically select the volume. If you see at the bottom, there's two partitions on this disk. Partition one is the Windows, what they call the system volume, which is the hidden partition that contains the bootloader. And then partition two is our Windows volume. And what I'm asking it to do is say, retrieve all the possible space of partition two and make it as small as possible. So we have shrink and then minimum 130 gigs. So that's saying that don't do it unless you can retrieve half the storage space. So just like, and that's kind of why we're doing this real-world scenario, we know that a dynamically sized BHD, they may have made it 256 gigs because they were watching for future growth, but the odds of it all being taken up, you know, you have to take a look at those things. So in this scenario, there was enough room, and so I was able to reduce the NTFS volume to 127 gigs. The next step is to take that disk and resize the VHD itself. So this tool, VHD Resizer, there's quite a few tools out on the internet, but basically VHD Resizer allows you to resize that disk, and it's a free tool, and not only resize it, but also change the type that it's going to end up being, because with Windows Azure, as we know, it has to be a fixed size, not a dynamic size, but a fixed size disk. And the OS volume connected to that virtual machine has to be 127 gigs or less. So now that we've shrunk the NTFS volume, now we can use this tool to talk to that dynamic disk, resize it to 127 gigs, and also make it type fixed. Once that tool is finished, then we're going to use the CS Upload tool. This is the best practice tool to get a custom on-premise VHD up to Windows Azure IaaS so that you can deploy virtual machines using that rather than one of the gallery images. So this is just kind of the output of the CS Upload tool. This command line is basically saying, take that VHD from my local hard disk, upload it to the storage account associated with this particular cloud service, and when that's all done, then we'll end up being able to do our next step, which is now let's deploy a virtual machine and attach it to that custom image.
So quick question, Don.
Yeah.
So number one, first question, where do you get the CS upload tool? And the other is, is there an explanation about the syntax here that we can use this as a script, if you will, and just modify the script to point to my VHD on-prem and push that into Azure?
Yeah, great question. So like a lot of the Azure tools, you can go to windowsazure.com and then you can install the SDK. So in my example, I installed the .NET SDK. There's just a basic big button on the website that allows you to install everything required. CS Upload is one of the many command line tools that's included with that. So if you notice the command prompt here, it's in the Windows Azure .NET SDK of June of this year. So it'll basically create a start menu entry for you, and this is basically a click away. The parameters to CS Upload, yeah, if you notice, there's quite a few. A lot of those are cut and paste, like you're saying. So you could create a batch file or a PowerShell script that basically input, you know, a couple of variables depending on what the subscription you want to connect to, what the storage account is, and then friendly names for the objects that you're creating up in Azure. So in this case, I basically specified the path to that local VHD that we created earlier. And then once it's uploaded, it has a friendly name so that when I go to the portal, I can view that disk and do things like deploy a new virtual machine using that as a template.
Makes sense. Thanks.
You got it. So one of the questions I get asked is about basically how long is it going to take to upload these workloads or these VHDs when we talk about things like a 127 gig disk or even higher, a 1 terabyte volume. Maybe I have a SQL workload on premise. What's it going to take to get it up there? Usually upload bandwidth is a lot different than download when we talk about ISP connections. So as you can see in the screenshot, CS Upload has some great intelligence built in. It basically goes through and scans the VHD first and says, out of all the blocks in this VHD, what's actually, what has data occupying those blocks? What are the used portions versus the unused? When it's done detecting those empty blocks, then it only uploads the deltas, or I guess what you'd call the bytes that are in use on that disk. So since, CS Upload is a Microsoft tool, it understands blob storage, specifically page files and VHDs. So the nice part is you're not going to be spending bandwidth or spending your time waiting for kind of the unallocated space of virtual hard disk to upload.
So that's great, Don. So as we wrap up, let's talk a little about templates, load balancing, and more importantly, availability sets.
Yeah, for sure. So like in our previous episodes, we usually go from, kind of taking a step back and drawing out what we're going to do in Windows Azure, and then we end up either in the portal or we end up even better automating things through PowerShell. So what we have on the screen right now is a simple PowerShell script that will take that template VHD that we just uploaded and basically spin up two instances in an availability set. And then, like we said, this is the customer-facing side is a simple web service. So I'll just kind of describe what's going on here. I usually have a header in the script that has everything to do with how am I going to connect to which subscription and what management certificate I'm going to be using to authenticate. And then basically some variables here, what size virtual machine am I going to stand up? What am I going to create it from? So, in the portal, sometimes you create things from gallery images. In this case, we have a very specific, unique image that we spent time getting up there. So we're going to make sure that we create these VMs using that VHD. And again, that's that 127 gigabyte virtual hard disk. What's the subnet it's going to be deployed to? So in previous things, we talked about subnetting out our cloud service. So in this case, we have a web subnet. And then what are the names of the nodes going to be? So what are those VM names, the proper names that we'll see in the portal? And then, of course, the Windows network names. Particular to endpoints, or at least load balance, this particular line on the Windows Azure commandlet called new Azure VM config, this automatically creates a new endpoint and sets up the load balancer that it basically tells it I need to expose this particular machine to the public internet on port 80, and I want to create a load balance set name, meaning that there's going to be more than just one VM. And if you notice in common, that same name, LBHTTP, is going to be used so that as I add additional VMs, they can all participate in that load balance set. So this is simply the same command line, but I'm just naming the second instance O2, and then I go ahead and deploy that.
Well, that was a great demo, Don. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, Don Noonan, he's a cloud architect for Skylera. Thanks for being on IT Time TechNet Radio, Don.
Thanks for the opportunity, Blaine. Appreciate it.
Always love having you on the show, and I know we got a couple more episodes to do as well. So with that, it's a wrap.